Jumping on the line on Static this evening, it is so great to be able to say a big g'day to Nathan Roach. How are you?
I'm really well, Berko. It's great to hear from you.
It's great to speak to you deep in southeast France somewhere, are you?
Yeah, I'm deep in the forest. Just got lost in the forest, nearly missed this call, but all is well in COVID France.
Good to hear, and I'm even more happier that you've got an album out under your own name again, Nathan, because you had been roaming as part of a gang in France the past few years. You had your band, Le Vieux Juif Underground, so it's nice for you to do the solo record again.
Yeah, I definitely needed to because, you know, love the guys in Le Vieux Juif Underground, but they're very unreliable and they take a long time to get their shit together. So with the COVID thing happening, it wasn't possible to play concerts, so had to make another record, and thought I'd do it in the south where I was living at the time. So it was now or never.
It seemed to be a good thing, though, you finding that band for a while there, Nathan. I mean, I guess camaraderie is a French word, and it sort of helped you have a gang to roam with, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we're still a band and everything. We're working on a new record. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty convenient to have a band to tour in France and all of Europe with, and China and, you know, all these other places that we've been. Yeah.
But it also seemed to have some other good knock-on effects because, as I understand it, it was a pretty spontaneous sort of outfit as well. You guys would write songs as you were performing live, almost?
Yeah, it was like we never practiced. We were not capable of discipline, kind of. So we would just like try and improvise songs and then play them live as we were playing live. But the last record was a bit more constructed, but out of these kind of random loose improvisations that we were doing.
There's a song on this new solo album called Karaoke in My Favorite Band, and I was wondering if that's what it was like being in that band for a while, sort of not knowing what you were going to sing out front of them each night.
Well, you nailed it. Yeah, that's exactly what this song's about, actually. Yeah, someone asked me what it was about, but you didn't even have to. You knew what it was. So, yeah, it's about that, and it's about learning to speak another language that isn't your own. So it's like singing karaoke. Yeah. It's kind of like learning another language, right? Because you don't feel the same connection with the words that at least I do with English. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of like you're just learning a song and then speaking that song every day.
Yeah, and you're doing a bit more of that word salad stuff as well, just picking out the words you need.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And that stuff seems to have fed into this record, Nathan. It also feels like you're very enamoured with your adopted homeland of France, because so many of the album Nathan has written as a travelogue. There's Brocante Belleville, which translates as a flea market in Belleville, and also La Ciotat, a town on the Mediterranean coast. So it's almost like reporting back on where you've been and what you've done a lot of this album.
Yeah, totally. Well, I guess I always did that, even, you know, back when I was playing, you know, Camper Down and Out, or like even Marfloff, Wentworth Avenue, Bruiser. I mean, it's just the easiest thing to write about is what's right in front of you. And in those circumstances, I was, you know, there was a La Ciotat right in front of me, or Dieppe, or Le Bourcon à Belleville. So, yeah, kind
of. You've been a lot of places. Yeah, Dieppe's a fishing port. So how does the tale of deep shit in Dieppe play out? What happened to you there?
Well, actually, I've been there a few times, but the first time I went there was like in 2014, and it was like, I think I had a new girlfriend and things weren't going so well. And the whole city, it was like in winter, so it was completely empty. And there was this one like canteen where a guy was trying to sell fish, and I went and spoke to him, and he's like, I haven't had a customer in 3 weeks. And I'm like, oh man, t'es vraiment dans les merdes. And when you say t'es vraiment dans les merdes, it's like you're in deep shit. So,
well, the important question is, Nathan, how did the fish taste? Was it 3-week-old fish?
Yeah, I kind of took it out of sympathy, but it wasn't your fresh catch of the day, that's for sure.
And I love the fact you can hear a few of the traumas of last year in this album as well. You've made the album as a solo record, but also it looks further afield. There's America again, which dreams of touring there. again at one point, which really is a song for our times. A lot of bands can relate to that.
Yeah, totally. It's weird because I came out with that song like a few years ago, even before it wasn't possible. And then I was like, oh, might as well record it. Because when I went on tour in America with Angie, you know, from Circle Pit and Ruined Fortune and stuff, Mike Spiros, who was driving us around, took all this video footage. And I was watching it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I'd love to go on tour in America again. But I guess it's going to be a while yet before that's a possibility.
And despite all these place names that are peppered throughout the record, it almost then comes as a shock, Nathan, when this album finishes with a selfish, self-pleasuring ode called Come Before You Did. Now, I'd like to think there's a bit of a French influence again in that song. Mm. It's almost a bit of Gainsbourg-esque sauciness in that song.
Yeah, it is a bit of a Gainsbourg-esque sauciness. Well, it's the opening line is "Well, so long, Louis Aragon." And when I lived in Paris, I lived in a little cabin in a garden, and that was on Rue Louis Aragon. And I, you know, went crazy living in Paris at the end there, and I needed to move to Marseille. And when I moved to Marseille, all the other guys in the band who were living in Villejuif were like, "Oh, we're gonna come as well. We're gonna come to Marseille with you." I'm like, "Oh my god!"
You couldn't shake them.
Yeah, I couldn't shake them, but they didn't come anyway, except for one. But so the "Come Before You Did" has multiple meanings.
Yeah. And Nathan, does France feel like home now? I mean, it's nurturing to the arts. There's a deep respect for culture. Has all that fed into you feeling like you belong there?
I definitely always feel like an outsider here, and definitely not as comfortable as I would be even after 7 years. Even if I speak the language, you know, I'm married here, you know, lived in various cities, and I probably know the country more than Australia now because of when we were touring with the Villejuif Underground, we constantly on tour. Like, I think I've been to Bordeaux like 20 times and Lyon like 15 and Toulouse. But I don't know. I think that sense of uncomfort is a pretty stimulating thing, actually. Trying to find that comfort all the time. I don't know. I think life was too perfect for me in Australia in a way. So it's good to struggle a bit.
Well, you haven't struggled completely. I mean, one of the more unforeseen experiences that you've had lately was being handpicked by Céline's creative director, Idis Lamont, who did photographs of you and used your music in a fashion show. So that was an incredible thing to see unfold.
Yeah, well, you know, as everything in my life, it just happens by chance. I didn't even know who the guy was. I know Céline, the author, but not the brand. But yeah, that was really came at a time when I was really struggling financially. And well, the Villejuif Underground was supposed to do the music for a catwalk thing for Céline, right? And I went to Morocco after doing the vocals and stuff. And I got stuck in Morocco for 3 months having passport issues because I've been living illegally in France for 4 years up to that point. And I was supposed to do a photo shoot for the Céline thing, and they had paid for these first class tickets, a 5-star hotel in Paris, there and back from Morocco, you know, just for 2 or 3 days. And I got blocked in Morocco, so the whole thing failed. Like, I think Céline had lost, you know, like 50,000 euro because of my passport problems. And then I finally got back into France like 3 months later. And they sent me an email and they're like, "Look, we're just going to use this photo we found of you that we took when we first met. And we're just going to use that for the campaign and we'll send you some money." And I was just like, "Yes, of course."
I thought the French would respect the fact that you were such a difficult artist. You know, he's such a renegade.
Yeah, he doesn't even have papers. He's living on the run.
I'm glad, like so many things then, Nathan, you fell ass backwards into it all.
Yeah, of course, as always. Yeah.
Yeah. So do visa issues mean that you can never come back to Australia? Are you stuck in southeast France for good now?
Nah, well, I got married 3 years ago and I've got the papers and stuff. It was hell, hell on earth trying to get the papers, even after getting married, but it's all good now. So, but you know, as soon as I got the right to live here, I wanted to go back to Australia.
And then COVID happened and everything else. So one day you'll get to come here. One day you'll get to tour America. All these things will come true, Nathan. But for now, it's so good to have Drink Up Rainforest Sinatra out and about. We might have a listen to a song called I Couldn't Touch the Bottom, which plays with some great ebbs and flows.
Yeah, go for it.
It was great to have tracked you down deep in southeast France. And one day we'll see you here in Sydney again. But for now, this is Nathan Roach on Static. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks for having me, Berko. Always a pleasure to hear from you.